praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're our strength and our shield. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We just want to lift up our hands. Let's worship the Lord. We're not in the land of, we're not walking in the wilderness any longer, folks.
Amen.
We're not in the wilderness no longer. We have to get rid of that mentality of the wilderness.
Hallelujah.
We're not getting fed daily manna by the Lord anymore. We are to dig in and get the word for ourselves. We're not supposed to be doing these things the same way no more. We have been given the land, you see.
Yes.
And that's what's
Hallelujah.
Been being said. We've been given the land. So the enemy is very, very strong now as far as trying to keep us really put in back in our spots that where we've been. And I can say that for myself because, see, I've watched it and I try to listen to the Lord. And I see the oppression that's even upon me to keep me out of the prayer times, to keep me thinking, it's the same old, same old. It is not the same old, same
Amen.
Old. It is not.
Right.
It is not the same old, same old. We've been given the land. So we're supposed to, we have crossed the river into Jordan.
Yes.
If you can see this
That's
in the
right.
spirit, because we really, really have. And I'm speaking about myself, what I need to be doing in these days ahead. Because see, if we don't do it, it's not going to change. It's going to be the same old, same old. And we have to know who we are in the spirit. Homer, you're healed and whole. Homer,
yes,
you're this,
right.
you're a revivalist. You understand? I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you're going through. You're a revivalist, and you are on the top of this other, on the top of this thing. I know that in my spirit with everything that I have. I know that, and that's where I stand. Bronk, you are a revivalist. Church, you are a revivalist. We're here for something. We're not just spinning our wheels. We're not going to accept the same old thing again and again. I am not going to accept the same old thing. I am not going to accept me being the same way that I was yesterday, no more. But only I can change myself. And I'm going to start changing myself. The Lord says when Gary was here, Isaiah 55:8 said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts more than your thoughts. And it's the truth. I mean, we are in the land of Jordan. We haven't been given the... we're supposed to be on the offensive nowadays.
Yes.
We're not supposed to be on the defensive.
Right. Right.
Well, I got this going on. Well, I can't see. I mean, we're not supposed to be on the offensive. You can see, Homer.
Yes.
Completely. But see, the devil tries to keep us on the defensive. Oh, I got this going on. I got that going on. And it keeps us on the defensive. We're the offensive team.
Yes.
We have crossed the Jordan. We are in the land of milk and honey.
Hallelujah.
We're there. We haven't given our full assignment. And yes, we have. Our full assignment is get in the prayer closet and let's do what we need to do. That's the joy of the Lord is our strength. And
yes.
It's my strength.
Hallelujah.
And I'm tired of what the devil's been doing to me day in and day out. I'm tired of it. And I'm guilty of allowing him to do that to me. I've been guilty of it day in and day out. And I'm just telling you, church, my church, my friends, my family, I'm tired of it. We are in the land of Jordan. We really are. We're there.
That's right.
We are the offensive team. So let's start acting like it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
We glorify
we
you.
To you.
We glorify
we
you, Jesus.
To you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We love you.
Thank you that we are yours.
We belong to you.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Just lift those hands up. We worship you, Jesus. Glorify you. Glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you for that secret place, Father. We thank you for that place, that abiding place. Him, we glorify you. We exalt you. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, worthy. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah, Jesus. Alomak. Many of you know he is pleased. You feel his pleasure. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. Thank you, Father. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Baloko. Oh, Father, we glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you, Father. All is yours. We magnify you. Hallelujah. Would you just thank him for the day that you were born again? The day that you received him? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, why don't you give somebody a great big hug this morning? Glorify you. Hallelujah. Praise God. We glorify you. Glorify you, Father. Hallelujah. But I want to remind you just a couple things. One thing is Candy and I are going to Africa in August. And I'm going to find a Tarzan suit and ride on an elephant and pound my chest and look for Candy. Do a Tarzan yell. Charge through the jungle, pick her up, put her on the elephant, swing on the vine. And besides for that, we'll preach a couple weeks. So it's coming up in August. So if at any time the Lord speaks to you, we're doing nothing to pressure, but if any time the Lord speaks to you to help us, we sure would appreciate it. I'll just tell you, the flights are like lots and lots and lots. $5,000 just to get down there. And we're not going down there, and we'll receive no offerings while we're there. We'll be preaching to a lot of preachers and their wives and doing a lot of things to train people on the same walk that you're on. So we appreciate your weekly giving, and thank you so much for it. And your faithfulness is just, it's incredible. But if the Lord speaks to you at any time to give more for that trip, we certainly would appreciate it. And God bless you and thank you so much for it. Amen. Saying that, why don't you just give yourself to just a contemplation right now before the Lord. Ask the Lord, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. What did have you give this morning? And in just a few moments after we honor our graduates, we'll give you that opportunity. And hopefully you've already done that. But we do get an opportunity to give this morning, and we appreciate your giving. So, amen. Father, we just pray, you being the one that speaks to our hearts. Immokalee's saved, and we're in revival, and we refuse to receive anything else. We keep going forward on this, that you've called us for this purpose in this hour. Now speak to their hearts this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that God, you've not brought us out to this place that we'd be left alone, but you've brought us to this place for more of you and more of everything that you are. And that's part of that provision. And we give you all the praise. And we give you all the thanksgiving for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, Homer, Rosie, would you help Homer up here?
Just want to let everybody know, really. Just want to let everybody know that whether you believe it or you don't believe it, it's coming from the heart of God, really. But before Almighty God, when you see a lot of tears going down my eyes or whatever, it's easy. It's real easy, and I asked the Lord if I could say this. It's real easy to think as a friend or somebody that knows me. It's real easy to hear the thought that, well, he's crying because he can't see. No, my friends. My heart cry for the last 2 or 3 weeks has been, Lord, I just want to get rid of me to encounter you, Jesus.
Yes.
So be real careful. I mean, everybody has great intention. Everybody does. Everybody does. They have great intention, and I thank you for all the things that you say when you walk by me. Just be careful that it's not a patronizing spirit, because if you come with me for a week in the house and sit next to me, you'll know what I'm feeling inside of me. If you just sit with me for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, come with me, and you'll know there's not, I mean, do I wish I could see right now? God, it's coming. It's just a matter of time. But my heart and my spirit are burning so much for the living God. And I can tell you that with all sincerity. That's why I love when Pastor Brock comes over. You know why? Because he doesn't patronize. He's my friend. We talk about the Bible. He's not trying to patronize me. He's my friend, and he's very sensitive. He can stay there for 10 minutes next to me and not say a word, because he's listening to the words of the Holy Spirit for me and him to have a buddy-buddy conversation. But before Almighty God, the things in the natural, that's a minor setback to what's going on in my spirit right now. My spirit is so on fire and so hungry, and God is just touching me. He's coming on occasion, just overwhelming me with insurance, with the Holy Spirit. He's just overwhelming me with all that is, and my health is great. My diabetes, it's great. My blood pressure is great. My eyes are just being rebellious. But it's just a matter of time. But please, again, and Pastor can judge this in the spirit, and he's already judging it in the spirit. My spiritual walk with Christ, my times with him have never been more on point and accurate and habitual and on fire and edifying and comforting than any time in my life.
Praise God.
I can say that before Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
I am called next to my pastor to win society, to win the people, but I'm called more than ever. Now, I've been called since day one, since I was separated from my mother's womb. I've been called to encounter the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This might be it's a minor setback, but our operation, how we live in the spirit, it cannot be stopped. We don't live on spiritual crutches. We live on a born-again spirit that was given to me and you by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Please know that. Please know that with all your heart. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. How many of you think you'd like to just give just for a moment? Praise God. We won't take long with this. Why don't you go ahead and stand? Hallelujah. If you do have something, go ahead and bring it down. Amen. We worship you, Father. Glorify you and worship you. Magnify you. What is your platform for approaching him? Getting from him what you want. A lot of times we'll approach him with something. We think we're going to trade something that we have, or even a desire in our heart, for something he's already provided. The best way and the only way, really, I mean pure faith, is to believe his word. He who spared not, Romans 8 says, he who spared not his own son. Here's the argument. Paul goes through everything in Romans 8, beginning with that we're free from condemnation. And that condemnation was not that we don't have to be condemned about the sin that we committed the night before on a party. Dave used to call them people that packed their repent pills. No, I know I'm going to go do this, but I'll intend on repenting as soon as I get done. Those are called repent pills. They don't work. You say, will he not forgive? Oh, yeah, he'd forgive if your heart was really intending on forgiving. But when you premeditate something and say, I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to ask forgiveness for it, you're not really repenting afterwards. The best that you can do is to come to a place where you say, forgive me for intending to repent. Nevertheless, when he started Romans 8 out, and he said, that we were free from condemnation. He was not talking about the condemnation that came along with things that would fall to those kinds of things. He was talking about that once we were born again, we were free from the power of sin and everything that sin held over us, or anything that it could, anything that this world could levy against us, or anything that the enemy could come with a drip, drip, drip process. And he who spared not his own son, because he delivered us out of that, how shall he not with him? In other words, here was, and I understand from those who know, that Romans is one of the best written legal documents. Why? Because it's written by Paul, a Holy Ghost-filled man that knew the law perfectly. So that by the time he gets to the end of Romans 8, he says this, he who spared not his own son, it's almost like, you could look at it like this, as if he was in front of a courtroom, a jury, and there's a judge, and he's trying to convince the jury, and he says, listen, if God did not spare his own son, how shall he not with him? In other words, if it was decided in the Godhead and the Logos says, okay, I'll stand down in a man, I'll become a man. God said, it's going to cost everything. It's going to cost everything. You're going to be separated from me for a season. Jesus said, okay, I'll do it. If he did not spare then him, well, then why would he spare anything that went along with him? How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Well, here's where a lot of times we'll come before him and we'll say, Lord, if you'll do this, then I'll give you this part of my life. He's not looking for those kinds of trades. He's not looking for them. I can't tell you, and I'm not patronizing him, because this is exactly the dialogue that we have is when we go over, we talk about the Word of God. But I'm so thankful. Aren't you thankful for a walk? A walk of the Spirit that is so powerful that even when a man is in a place where he's in transition, like our pastor, my friend, that he's saying, look, the most important part of my whole life is to know Him. And I can testify to you that knowing Him is even at this point in time more precious to me than my very eyes. Hallelujah. Does that mean something to you? Does that mean that we could get to a place where we could love Him more than anything else and know that He who spared not His own Son, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Hallelujah. Now John Lake, I read of him one time, and there wasn't anything that he did wrong in this, but I can see something even higher, because I know where Homer's at. When he got off the boat coming back from Africa, when he got off and he'd lived his life over there, and I don't know, it was one of those trips, he come back and he was getting up in age, but he wasn't that old, and his eyesight began to go on him and he began to go blind. And they said that he just began to walk, and he walked around the block and he began to tell God how much that he loved God's Word, and he loved to see God's Word and read God's Word. Well, just out of that intimacy, they said by the time he got back around the block, his sight was totally restored. Well, I thank God. I thank God for a love for His Word. And I thank God for a love that says, God, I've got to have Your Word more than anything else. But I can tell you this. Did you know that if you didn't know His Word at all, except you knew this, you had this truth in you, that he who spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? I don't have to bargain with you, God. I'm asking you based on everything that he did in his word. Lord, I receive everything that you are. That's my healing. That's my prosperity. That's my deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8. You might as well turn there just for a few minutes. So we got just a few. Verse 32. He that spared not his own son. Say this, he spared him not for me. That's my healing. my deliverance. That's revival in Immokalee. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yes, and rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. How many are glad that Jesus is praying for you? Do you appreciate it when Sister Barbara prays for you? I do. I hear she prays for me. I pray to God. She doesn't stop. My wife prays for me. A lot of you pray for me. I pray for you. But oh my, thank you, Jesus, for praying for me. And you know how he does it? He does it. He prays. But he's also been praying for you as long as you'll let him through the Holy Ghost. What did you say, Pastor? I don't know exactly, but I said something like, bless him, Father. Bless that good preacher. No, it was something the Holy Spirit was saying good for me and for my benefit. He who separated us, or verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then it starts this long list. Well, are you going through any tribulation? Are you? Really? What church do you go to? My goodness, this is news to us. Don't hang around very long if you're going through tribulation, because we don't allow tribulation around here. Or distress. No distress. Persecution. Famine. Nakedness. Peril. It's not pearls. It's perils. That's just hard things that are happening to good people. Or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. How many of you have ever felt like you were just dying all day long? Wish for the night. Then when the night got there, you wish for the day. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. But really, it says, as it is written, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. What this is really talking about is not that the trial's killing you. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that we are counting ourselves as yielding ourselves and our members over to this plan that God's working in us. And our dying, the dying that's taking place, is not that we're being killed by tribulation, but the dying process is, Lord, we're yielding ourselves over to a purging process, that whatever it is in the middle of this thing, that we go to the next level of who you are in us. And so that the reason why, whatever this is that's trying to destroy anything in us, Lord, it's not that the thing's killing us. We're yielding ourselves as sheep to you, Lord. You're the one that's going to change us. No, he says, nay, in verse 37. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. How many of you say, I thank God I am more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. See, somebody explained it like this one time. You're a conqueror if you go up and take a city. You're a conqueror if you go up and take a stronghold and something takes place and you go into a battle and you fight and you win. You're a conqueror. But you know the battle really is not the one. Yeah, the battle's us. Somebody's saying the battle's us. But the battle that was fought over sin, the battle that was fought over your salvation, was fought and won by our commander-in-chief, our high priest, the Lord Jesus, the one that's praying for us. Well, how could you be more? I mean, if you're a conqueror, you're a conqueror, right? If you take a citadel, if you take a place, you fight a great battle, you're a conqueror. But there he plainly says that we're more than conquerors. How could you be more? The only way that you could be more is that the one who fought it and became the conqueror turned around and says, look, I'm going to give you my standing. I'm going to give you he who spared not. I conquered all of this. I conquered fear, depression, anxieties. I conquered all of these things. I conquered everything that would come against you. And when you were going into a revival, and I'm turning around and I'm giving you my standing. All these things, he says, and all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded. Wave at me if you have been persuaded. Well, I don't know what I'm persuaded at. Well, here's what you're persuaded. For I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death nor life nor angels. Do you notice he put plural there? Didn't say an angel. He said angels. Nor principalities, plural, nor powers, or things present or things to come. I know what's present, but I don't know what things are to come. But he says this, it doesn't matter whatever is present or whatever can be coming down the pike. None of these things, he says, nor height. The height here is really the word citadel. It means a fortress. It means something standing in front of you. Remember what Gary was, he says, Dave says that sometimes we come to something, we're staring at it like a cow at a new gate. We're like, you know, this wasn't here before. And all those examples that he set in front of us, like that man who's looking at something like he doesn't know how to get past it. That's what a citadel is. It's a fortress. It's something that is in front of you that you never faced before. And the reason why it's a challenge to you presently is because you've never faced it, and it's standing there like something that will not go away. And it's standing there as something that doesn't look like there's any way around it or any way over it. But it's included in the list. It's included in the list. He says, nor height, nor depth. Nor depth is the word bathos, which means it's a cavern. It means like it's something to start with. He's saying you come to a place where you're looking over something. You say, I can't get past this. This goes beyond any ability for me to get past this. Doesn't matter if it's sin in your life. Doesn't matter if it's a challenge in your body. It doesn't matter. You're going on a path with God and something comes and stands there. The first one's a citadel. The second one's is a cavern so deep that you say, there's no way I can jump over this and I can't travel through it. There's no way to get over it. Paul says, I've faced all those things. But the bottom line of where he gets us to, he says this, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what? Does he say the power of God? No, he says the love of God. It's amazing. He doesn't say the power of God. You'd think that he'd say the power of God to get past all of these things as a conqueror. But he says, amazing, what equals all that power to get past everything that the enemy could throw against you. He says, I am persuaded that none of these things shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, what do I need to do then? I'd pursue love, wouldn't you? I'd pursue getting to know a fellowship with this one who's able on a continual basis to baptize you into something that feels like it will not go away, and that is the love of God. Hallelujah. Do you know a way to do that? Yeah. To start with, when it's cold and it's rainy outside and inside, even when there's no presence, I know one that will pray for me. His name is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And the Word of God says in Jude 20 that He will keep us in the love of God. Aren't you glad that somebody will keep you in even when you don't feel like you're being kept in? It is the Holy Spirit. It is that one who has come to pray for you and me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand with me? Valakoroso. Praise you, Father. We worship you. Lift your hands and just magnify you. I glorify you, Jesus. I glorify you. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. I exalt you. Why don't you just worship him? If you had a need that you come here this morning with, you're needing prayer before you leave here this morning, that is why we're here, is to lay hands on you. I know that you're being taught how to get past these things yourself, but we're here to pray. Homer's spending a lot of time energizing himself in the Holy Ghost, and I am too. So why don't you let us let some of that out on you this morning? So as we worship, if you do have something you're standing for that you have need of prayer, come on down. Hallelujah. Would you say this with me? I say
the Mockley
is in revival.
The
blind see.
The
lame walk.
Deaf hear.
Dumb speak.
Demoniacs are set free.
Maimed are made whole.
Thousands and thousands
are
born again.
This revival.
This revival.
I was listening to one of Homer's teachings, and Gandy had me listen to part of it, and something he was saying about, I think it was when I was gone and that week, and to Jim's, and he was talking about inviting people forward to worship, and he doesn't even do that anymore because worship is something you do on your own fruition. And I thought, that's right. It really is. I mean, you can at times encourage people. That's okay. It's totally fine to encourage people. But you can't make anybody want to go in. They've got to want to go in on their own. So I said that as a little preface to maybe it's an apologetic to say what I'm trying not to say. I'm not trying to scold anybody into. But we're having Friday night confessions. And confession is part of our foundation. It's part of our limb. Sometimes it's dry. It's cold. Anesthetic. The most anointing we feel sometimes is just in the fellowship we have before service. But we will not stop. And if you are a warrior and you can bring your flesh under subjection, now maybe I'm preaching. Now maybe I'm coercing. Friday nights at 7:30, we have a little bit of fellowship, and then we're always started by, hey, come in here and help us speak good things over our city and believe for God to bring things in. I want you to know that we're having that service. It was cut off for a little bit, but we're back. Hallelujah. Amen. So I expect every single one of you to be here if you're saved. If you love God and if you're going to heaven. Okay. Oh, man. We went from spirit to flesh real quick. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug this morning. You're blessed. Amen.